I know this might be a little strange start to a message, but quite a while ago, I took several personality tests. I remember one personality test in particular, and the results were broken down into four possibilities. One person, or a person, could be a lion. A person could be an otter, a golden retriever, or a beaver. Now, there really isn't a name for this personality test. Focus on the Family calls it the four animal personality test, but have any of you heard of it? We got a couple. So those of you heard of it, have you taken it? Yeah? All right. We'll have to talk later. Well, I found the test again. I took it this week. But anyways, the results are I could be one of those four animals. Why am I talking about a personality test that has four animal likenesses? Well, I'm not going to talk about that personality test. But I am going to talk about something looking at people falling into two categories. You and I will either be a sheep or we'll be a goat. Yeah, we're back to animals. But I don't know, it seems like when I was studying for my message today, that's what came to mind. You could either be a sheep or a goat. Two possibilities are better than four. And we're going to see in Scripture today that everyone of this world will be in one of those two categories. But let's just review a couple items before I get into my message. Over the last couple Sundays, I've been looking at several parables. Those parables and today's are really closely placed in Scripture. They're one right after the other, but they're also connected to one another as Jesus taught them. 2 weeks ago, we looked at what it was to be ready for Christ's return, or being ready to meet Jesus. We never know. He could return right now. Or something could happen and we meet Jesus now, so we must always be ready. Last week, we looked at continuing the Lord's work in the meantime while we wait. Acting as if he will return at any moment, but planning as if he does not return for 100 years. I know that over the last couple weeks, we have looked at reward and judgment some, and we'll see more today through the parable of the sheep and the goats. We will also see in this parable that there are some areas that we will probably be challenged in. But let's begin reading from Matthew chapter 25, starting with verse 31. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." See, Jesus starts this parable out with when the Son of Man comes in all his glory. The Son of Man is a way that Jesus refers to himself. You see, Jesus is fully God and fully man. The title Son of Man has several aspects to it. I just want to cover them with you here. It clearly has his humanity in mind. He was a humble servant who came to bring salvation to sinners. He was a suffering servant whose atoning death and resurrection redeemed his people. He is a king and a judge who will return and rule his kingdom. The first time he came was without all his glory. If you remember the first time he came to a virgin. He was born. And he wasn't born in a palace. He was born in a stable or a cave with animals. You see, when he first came, it was not with all his glory. But when Jesus returns, he will have his angels with him. And he will have all his glory. And he will sit on his throne. This gives us a picture of Jesus ruling and judging. And we're told that all the nations will be gathered before him. Does that mean every nation in the world, geographical nation? I'm not sure if that's what Matthew is referring to. But we know that Jews and Gentiles alike will all come. Romans 14:10, "For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." You see, everyone will be judged. Everyone will fall into that category of a sheep or a goat. Why sheep? Why goats? I guess it might have been easy for those listening to Jesus and hearing Jesus speak. Maybe they understood shepherding very well. They understood flocks. They understood sheep and goats. Yet sheep are used in Scripture in so many places. Jesus often refers to his followers as sheep. If you remember some of his Scripture, one of those that Jesus talks about, he says, My sheep will know my voice. You see, his followers know Jesus. Sheep would be the natural pick for those who know their master and follow him. Do goats know their master or follow their master? Honestly, I really don't know goats enough to be able to answer that. The only goat I remember hearing about was Trent's goat. That was kind of a little, I don't know, psychotic? I'm not sure. But we know in this parable, the sheep and goats are separated. The sheep are put on the right and the goats are put on the left. There's no third category. There isn't an in-between. No hybrid, half sheep, half goat. There isn't a geep section. Okay? They have been judged a sheep or a goat. The sheep is the one who has been faithful. Because of their faith, their actions and attitudes reflected those of Christ. While the goat is the one who has not been faithful. And I suppose the goat could be someone who claimed having a faith, but it was not one that allowed the Holy Spirit to transform them into the likeness of Christ. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ, or are you not? You see, that is the question to ask. Will you be found as a sheep or a goat? Sure, we could all probably work on some weak areas or areas that we fall short on, but that's not what I'm talking about. Are you a follower? Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. This type of faith isn't a passive faith. It is an active faith. This is the faith that you are willing to confess. It is a faith that allows God's Word and His Spirit to change us and to transform us. This faith is in Jesus is life-changing. As a sheep, we are told to come and be with the Father and receive our inheritance. I could take a lot of time here. But we are told that when we put our faith in Jesus, we become heirs with Christ. We are adopted sons and daughters of God. We have a tremendous inheritance in having eternal life with Him. And since the creation of the world, God has been preparing a place for us. An eternal blessing to look forward to. The faithful ones, those deemed sheep, are said to come and participate in eternity with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And we really could almost end right there as the end of my message, but guess what? Jesus doesn't end the parable there. You see, His parable continues on. And I don't want to have any confusion, as Scripture is clear that faith is what leads us to salvation and not works. I want to be clear on that. But it is faith that leads us to do good works. And Jesus brings out good works further in this parable. This is where we'll probably be challenged a little more if we've not already. Jesus really highlights that those who truly love Him will be concerned about the things He is concerned with. Let's begin reading in verse 35, where Jesus starts by showing some of the qualities of the sheep, His faithful ones. Verse 35. "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger, invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." It almost feels like when we read that beginning of the parable and come to this second part of the parable, it seems like they're two different passages. You see, for Jesus, He is seeing the sheep as righteous, and they are concerned for Jesus' needs. He was hungry, thirsty, in need of shelter, and in need of clothing, sick and confined, and His followers provided for His needs. Yet in this parable, Jesus tells us how His followers would respond as if they were there. And the people respond, "When did we see these things? When did we see you in need and provide? When was this?" And Jesus brings this point home here. "Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." The least of these are brothers and sisters who are in need. And Jesus compares their compassion for them just the same as compassion for Him personally. James brings this out in James chapter 2, verse 15. "Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." See, those who Jesus is referring to as sheep are those who are compassionate to fellow believers. Showing such compassion isn't something that they have had to think about, because as they follow Christ, their hearts are moved to care for one another, care for those around them who may be in need of life essentials. I realize that the context of this passage is fellow believers. And I think that a question may come up is, should we show that same compassion to those who are not believers or not followers of Christ? And I think the answer is pretty easy. And we just look at the Bible and say, what did Jesus do? All we have to do is look at the numbers of times that Jesus healed people or ministered to needs, and we'll notice that not everyone that he ministered to fully believed in him as Savior and the Messiah. In fact, Jesus healed some and never saw them again. Our ability to help someone with a real need may give us an opportunity to share Christ, to show the love and compassion of Christ. I've heard many stories of someone simply showing compassion and really thinking little of what they were doing, yet to those that they were showing compassion to, it was a life-changing moment for them. To these sheep they will receive, as already stated in verse 34, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." See, that's what we are looking forward to. That's what we're looking forward to. Spending an eternity with our Heavenly Father. Yet if you read on, we see that what is said about those who have been judged as goats, those who have not been faithful. Let's continue reading on, verse 41. "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me.' They also will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?' He will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me.' Then they will go away to the eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." Wow. Just at the very beginning, "depart from me" is that first part. To be removed from the life-giving presence of God is no small judgment. He is the source of not only life, but of love and peace and joy. He's the source of our purpose as we were created to worship Him. Everything that is good is from Him, and to be removed from that is again no small judgment. But that isn't all. You see, Satan or the devil was rebellious, and God prepared a place for him and his evil workers, his demons or messengers. You see, we're told that God prepared a place for those who are righteous, but He also prepared a place for those who were not. That place is an eternal fire. A place that we saw last week described as a place of weeping and of gnashing of teeth. A place of eternal torment. A place void of God's presence. This parable highlights some of their deeds. Instead of seeing sins of commission, sins that they committed, we are seeing sins of omission. Despite the fact that their faith was not fully placed on Christ, Jesus goes back to saying, "I was hungry, but you gave me nothing. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you ignored me. I needed clothing, and you gave me none. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't care." Do you notice how the people will respond? They say, Lord, when did we see you like that? But they still use that term, Lord. Is this a sifting of true believers from those who simply give the Lord lip service? Maybe. Maybe it's that point again that every knee will bow, everyone will confess that Jesus is Lord. One thing is certain, the faith that we claim to have in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and the receiving of His Holy Spirit must change us to be more like Him, and our actions will reflect that. Kindness and compassion to those who are in need, they are important to the Lord. Again, I wanted to just stress a little bit, it might look like our good works determine our salvation, or the lack of works determine our judgment. But in fact, our faith is what impacts our heart, and our heart impacts our works. We will either be judged as a sheep or a goat, and we will either be given eternal life or condemned to eternal punishment. Often, we don't like to think of God in that way, that any of us would be condemned to eternal judgment. Right? I would say a lot of churches like to try and veer away from that. How can a loving God send people to eternal torment in fire? But here's the thing. Here's the thing that I want you to remember. That God is the one who provided a way for eternal life through the giving of His Son, Jesus Christ. If only we would choose to follow Jesus and receive Him fully and completely. He gave us the way. As faithful followers of Christ, we are challenged with this parable. Sins of omission are just as serious as sins of commission. So we're looking at now, okay, we see what Jesus is saying, but we also have to realize that there may be areas that we can grow in. Failing to show compassion to those in need is something Jesus finds serious. I realize that this is a broad topic that may require discernment at times, but the least of these are those who are vulnerable, those who are unable to help themselves. They are cared for deeply by Jesus as He identifies Himself with them. If God has blessed us with the ability to help, this is a personal responsibility for each of us. Yes, corporately as a church, we do help different people in need. But we will individually be held responsible. This can be a sobering thought if we wanted to pass needs off on others. But if God has put them in your path, you have a certain responsibility. This is sobering for me because I know this is an area that I need to grow in. As I close, I want to leave you with a question. Getting back to the same question I've kind of have been saying throughout my message today. Are you going to be a sheep, or are you going to be found as a goat? You see, this isn't a personality test that we make check marks. This is real life with real consequences that last for an eternity. If you do not know where you fall, then I would say you need to be on your knees before Jesus and spend time with Him. Do you know?